بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 9th of August in the year 2020 alhamdulillah we moved on to the 12th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu anha. So the next section is entitled Her Settling into Her New Glorious Abode. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 89 to 90 of the English translation, Ibn Asakir in his Al-Arba'in, number 33, on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, he states Hasan. Al-Isabah, number 11,407, or volume 4, page 347. Shaykh Al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Sahib Qandahlawi, rahmatullah alayh, in Sirat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 332 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 287-8 of the New English translation. Ata ibn Yasar, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, when Sayyida Safiya bint Huyay, radiyallahu anha, arrived in al-Madinah, she stayed in a house belonging to Sayyidina Haritha ibn Nu'man, radiyallahu anha. When the women of the Ansar radiyallahu ta'ala heard about her, they came to see her celebrated beauty. Wearing her veil, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha also went to see her. Then later, as she was leaving, Rasulullah spotted her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He followed her out and asked, "Kayfa ra'aytaha ya Aisha?" What have you seen, O Aisha? What is your first impression? She replied, Ra'aytu Yahudiya. I have only seen a Jewess. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, La taquli hadha ya Aisha, fa innaha qad aslamt, fa hasuna islamuha. Do not say that, O Aisha, radiyallahu, for she has embraced Islam, and she is now an excellent Muslim. So let's look at this blessed report. So it's an authentic report as mentioned by Ibn Asakir. So what does it mention? When our beloved mother Safiya, who is just shy of 17 years of age, when she arrives in Al-Madinah, she stayed in a house belonging to Haritha ibn Nu'man. So who is this sahaba? Haritha ibn Nu'man radiyallahu anhu, he was very generous from the Ansar. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Fatima to Ali, their dwelling was quite far. So Haritha ibn Nu'man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if you wish, I will give one of my dwellings so she can be closer to you. And the Prophet accepted that. So this shows that he was very concerned about the Prophet's welfare sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look here, when Safiya came, radiyallahu, she stayed in this Haritha ibn Nu'man dwelling. Why? Because she needs her own dwelling. What else do we know about Haritha ibn Nu'man? He was a very, very high ranking sahaba. He was a Badri. He fought in Badr, so that's enough to show his status. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih, he saw Jibreel. He actually saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He was honored to see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But what's incredible, he's a Badri. He's from the Ansar. But there was something else about this sahaba, Haritha ibn Nu'man, which really shows the greatness of the deed that he was doing. The hadith is authentic. It's in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I heard somebody reciting the Quran in paradise. And I asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, who is that? And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is Haritha ibn Nu'man. And this is the reward for his birr, his love to his parents, his obedience to his parents. This is the reward for birr. Now what's shocking about the hadith, this is a sahih hadith, is that he's still alive. So where did the Prophet see him? In paradise. Haritha ibn Nu'man passed away in Muawiyah's Khalifat. So when this was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had another probably 40 years of his life left. So think about that. He's a Badri, He probably fought in Uhud, Khandaq, all the other campaigns. He saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. None of that was mentioned in the hadith. What was the deed that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said? This is the reward for birr, birrun walidain. In other words, his obedience to his parents. And he was still alive. Another lesson we take from that is, if you look after your parents, you will die with iman. He could not die without iman, because he was still alive. So his status is very high. Here, Safiya radiyallahu anha was in his blessed dwelling. Then what happened? So the news spread. The beauty of Safiya, they wanted to see Safiya, so women can see women. So they came. And who came with the veil? Look how interesting. She was veiled. Aisha. Because obviously she had that great possessiveness over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when she was there, she was obviously looking at Safiya radiyallahu anha. When she was leaving, Rasulullah noticed her. He followed her and he says, "Kayfa ra'aytaha ya Aisha? What have you seen, O Aisha?" Now we say, what's your impression? And what did she say? This shows her super possessiveness. Ra'aytu Yahudiya. I've only seen a Jewess. And what did the Prophet say? Look at the status of Safiya radiyallahu. La taquli hadha ya Aisha. Do not say that, O Aisha radiyallahu. Fa innaha قَدْ أَسْلَمْتْ فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهَا. She has indeed embraced Islam and she is an excellent Muslim. Now why was the Prophet reiterating that? Because all they knew, she's the daughter of that shaitan. Her husband was being killed. So they still had that kind of, you know, in their hearts. But the Prophet was saying with revelation, not with emotion. He was saying she's excellent, don't have anything against her. She's embraced Islam. She's an excellent Muslim. In a slightly different report, we have further details. In Ibn Majah, number 1980, in the chapter on marriage with a weakness in the chain of transmission, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, after looking at the beauty of Safiya, she said, "My expression changed, and I covered my face and I went away. Rasulullah looked at my eyes and recognized me. I turned away and walked quickly, but he caught up with me and put his arm around me and said, 'Kayfa ra'ayt? What did you see?' I replied, 'Arsil Yahudiyata wasta Yahudiyat. Let me go. I saw a Jewish woman amongst other Jewish women.'" So this adds detail. So this is recorded by Ibn Majah. So what happened? Aisha is describing her inner state. When she saw the beauty of Safiya, he hurt her. And he goes, "I left, and then the Prophet caught up with me." And what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Kayfa ra'ayt?" What did you see? And look what she said. "Arsil," let me go. Meaning that she was upset. "Yahudiyata wasta Yahudiyat. I saw a Jewish woman amongst other Jewish women." So now, like I mentioned many times, should we find fault with our beloved mothers for this jealousy? The answer is no. I'm going to come to the reports. The report mentions that the jealous woman can't tell the top from the bottom of a valley. There's a hadith in Fath al-Bari, Hassan. I'll mention it at the relevant time. But they're competing for the love of the Prophet. So again, don't have any negatives. But it's worth mentioning that this was the case. It was not just Aisha radiallahu who was jealous, but also the other blessed mothers of the believers. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 90 of the English translation, Sayyida Sinan al-Aslamiyya radiyallahu anha, she said, "I saw four wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they were covered. Zainab bin Jahsh, Hafsa, Aisha and Juwayriya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. I thereupon heard Zainab say to Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, 'O daughter of Al-Harith radiyallahu anha, I can only think that this young woman will now overcome us regarding the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.'" Juwayriya responded, "No, that cannot be the case. For she is one of those women who have very little luck with their husbands. She is one of those women who have very little luck with their husbands." This is in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat, volume 8, page 90 of the English translation. So let's look at this. So Sinan al-Aslamiyya from the Ansar radiyallahu anha, she goes, "I saw four of the mothers of the believers," four of them. And what were they discussing? Safiya radiyallah and Zainab bin Jahsh, the one whom Allah Ta'ala arranged the marriage with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said to Juwayriyah, the daughter of Al-Harith, whose whole tribe embraced Islam upon her embracing Islam. Zainab said to Juwayriyah, I only think that this young woman will now overcome us. Meaning the Prophet is going to spend more time with Safiya. She's going to get the better of us. And what did Juwayriyah say? Radiallah. No. She is one of those women who have very little luck with husbands. So meaning she's only 17 and the Holy Prophet is her third husband. So what do you notice in their speech? Jealousy. Zainab's thinking, oh no, now she, you know, the Prophet is going to spend more time. And Juwayriyah is saying, oh no, it's okay. Third husband. So note, this was the intense possessiveness of the mothers of the believers with regards to competing for the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with all our beloved mothers whose intense love and possessiveness of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed truly paramount. Ameen. So now, she was just shy of 17 years of age, but she did something amazing when she entered Al-Madinah. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayh, he said, when Sayyida Safiya bin Huyay radiyallahu anha arrived in Al-Madinah, she was wearing gold earrings in the shape of palm leaves. So these earrings were quite large. They were gold. She gave these as a gift to her stepdaughter Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha and some other ladies who were with her. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Al-Isabah, volume 4, page 347, Ibn Sa'ad al-Istabaqat, volume 8, page 90 of the English translation, Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Sahib Kandihlawi, rahmatullah alayh, in Sirat al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 334 of the English translation, Ma'arif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 510 of the New English translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 288 of the New English translation. So let's look at this. How much were those earrings worth? And not forgetting, she hasn't got anything now. She's in a new city, doesn't know anybody. So she needs money. So obviously, the gold was very important for her to have. But what did she do? She gave it as a gift to Fatima, radiallahu, and some other female companions. So that was a kind of a way of showing her happiness. And look what Shaykh al-Ahadith Mawlana Muhammad Idris Sahib Kandahlawi said, rahmatullah, he added, he goes, Subhanallah, no sooner had she become the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the love of the world disappeared from her heart. Subhanallah. No sooner had she become the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the love for this world disappeared from her heart. Think about that. So Shaykh al-Hadith, he's saying, look at the change that's taking place. She got no love for the dunya. She needs the wealth. It's not like, oh, yeah, I've got plenty of money in the background. Absolutely nothing. The gold is, you know, you need the money. And she gave it immediately. And who did she give it to? Showing her love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima. Fatima radiallahu anha was kind of a stepdaughter. And then she gave it and she gave it to some other women. And the gold was priceless. So note who was purifying her heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget, she's now think about this. It's unheard of. If somebody says to you, is gold something that is given as a gift by the father to the daughter when she gets married? And this is a custom. And they go, why do you give them gold? Because they need it. You know, for a rainy day, they always say that. It's for a rainy day, something happens. We've got gold. And gold's value usually goes up. That's why gold is given. Then imagine your daughter gives it in sadaqah. Have you ever heard a narration like that? Just got married. There you go. I've got all this gold, sadaqa jariya. Right? You would think, what that? And why? Either she's extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or she's extremely foolish. And this was Sayyida Safiya. She was very intelligent, investing straight away for the akhirah. And Shaykh al-Hadith said, Subhanallah, look at how amazing. Not even 17 years old. And she's doing what all women don't do. You see it with gold still clinging to their ears. Get rid of it. One foot's in the grave now. No. I'll pass you on to my daughters. That's not sadaqah. Right? That's inheritance. You don't get any reward for that, right? Sadaqa jariya. You know, give the gold, get rid of it. And what's interesting is how much gold is there on the world now, and how many people have owned that same gold. And then you learn nobody owns it. It's a joke. You know, you go back 1,000 years, that gold must have been around somewhere. And guess what? Joe Bloggs, you know, apparently owned it. He dropped dead. Somebody else takes it. And now it's in your hands. So what do you learn? If you're wise, this isn't my gold. So I need to invest it. So I'll get the full return from it. Even Karun's wealth isn't on the earth. Firon's wealth. Right? So no, the wise person invests. And Sayyidah Safiya taught us that immediately. Radiallahu. So this was her auspicious entrance into the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What year was this? The 7th year after the Hijrah. So there's another 4 years left with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet married one more wife, and that was Maymuna radiallahu anha. And he married her when he went to do the Umrah, the Mehr of Umrah, which I've discussed. So in case you're wondering whereabouts, what's happening, she's the second to last blessed mother of the believer. So the next section is entitled, A Glimpse of Her Intimacy with Our Beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the queens of paradise, radiyallahu ta'ala, are our role models par excellence. But due to their intense love for their unparalleled husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes they would inadvertently overstep the mark. So is it correct to call them queens of paradise? And the answer is yes. And where's the proof? My wives in this world are my wives in the hereafter. So if they're not queens, who's going to be queens? Right? So they were chosen. So let's look at this jealousy. In Fath al-Bari 9-325 is Hassan. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jealous woman cannot differentiate between the top of a valley and its bottom. The jealous woman cannot differentiate between the top of a valley and its bottom. That's an authentic hadith. Meaning that whenever a woman becomes jealous, she essentially loses her sense of rationality and awareness. She no longer remains rational. Have you understood? So why is that so important? Because it was displayed. The mothers of the believers, they start saying things. So should we hold it against them? No, forget about them. Blessed mothers of the believers. We shouldn't hold that for any woman. It's in her nature. She's not thinking straight. You even say that in English. He's not thinking straight. And usually it's a figure of speech. But for the female, Allah Ta'ala has put something inside them. And this is to protect the family tie, the husband and wife tie. They get that, you know, that jealousy. And you notice, where have you been? You know, why we are so long, this, that. And then you think, don't you trust me? And the response is, that's innate in them. Allah Ta'ala has put that into their hearts. Don't hold it against them. Right? So note, this is something which the Prophet overlooked. Why do you think he overlooked that? Think about that. All these things that his wives were doing, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he didn't say anything. Because he knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved mother, radiallahu, was often the target of this jealousy. Thus, our beloved messenger would come to her defense. Let me mention a few examples. In Abu Dawud, number 4875, Tirmidhi, number 2638, Hassan Sahih, Ahmad in his Muslim, Bayhaqi, Mishkat, volume 1, number 193, in the chapter on the control of the tongue, Targheeb, number 2490, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 512 of the New English Translation. Shaykh Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih, in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, and Sahih al-Jami, number 5140. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I once said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hasbuka min safiyyata qada wa qada. It is sufficient that Safiyyah is like this and like this. And she was making reference to her short stature. The Holy Prophet thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ قَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْ. Should the words you have just now uttered be mixed with the ocean, it would surely have spoiled it, O Aisha. So let's look at this. So So first, is it authentic? Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ahmad, Bayhaqi, it's sahih in sahih al-jami, flawless report. So what did Aisha say? Now think about this. Would you even consider this bug-by? What did she say? These were her exact words. Hasbuka min safiyyata kada wa kada. Sufficient it is that Safiya is like this. Meaning, she's short. So she was slightly shorter than the average height of a female. Well, what did the Prophet say? Did he say, oh, it's okay. Now he has to intervene because backbite. And what did the Prophet say? Amazing words. لَقَدْ قُلْتِ قَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاعِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْ. Should the words you have just now uttered be mixed with the ocean would be spoiled. Think about that. Take the words of Aisha, put it into the Pacific Ocean. It pollutes you all. Put it into the Atlantic Ocean. So what was the Prophet highlighting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was highlighting, just because you said a few words, does it mean it's a small thing? But there's another secret here, which is Shaykh highlighted. Shaykh Al-Mubarak Puri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he made the following very interesting observation. In Tuhfat Al-Ahwazi 7-177, the meaning of this is that if this backbiting could be mixed with the water in the ocean, it would have dirtied the state of that enormous body of water despite its vastness. Thus, how about if this backbiting is mixed with only a few deeds? I, which is the case of many of the lay Muslims. So there's a deeper meaning here. So what did who's the Shaykh? Shaykh Al-Mubarak Puri came recently, rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away. He wrote a commentary on Imam Tirmidhi's Sunan. It's called Tuhfat Al-Ahwazi, the gift. He says about this hadith that if these words were mixed with the ocean, so what does the ocean represent? It represents metaphorically the enormous good deeds of Aisha. In other words, she's got too many good deeds. But he said, it would still have polluted all of them. Then he said, what about then if the bug biting is mixed with only a few good deeds? What's it going to do to your deeds? Bole Bali Musalman. Imagine somebody goes, what's your deeds compared to Aisha? Don't ask that question, brother. What's my deeds compared to Aisha? Are you serious? Yeah, I'm asking. Like a little flicker. Right? And then you go, right, you backbite. Well, brother, you're in the day, you know. Right? And then you go, there you go, brother. Get a fruitcake. If Aisha's deeds, which is described like an ocean, would get polluted, what's he going to do to you? He's going to, you know, like, spit it out. Well, that's all your deeds gone. And what's interesting about backbite? Have you ever come across any hadith or verse of the Quran which mentions how much of your deeds have been destroyed? Does it mention the amount? How many sins? How does it mention the amount? Why is that? Because if you were given that knowledge, you probably faint. So for example, you go, you backbited, you know, we know you backbited. How much do you think, how many good deeds have you lost? So what do people think? Well, you know, 100 good deeds. Where does it say that, brother? Another goes, no, no, brother, not 100. It's got to be about 1,000 deeds, isn't it? Where did you get that from? This hadith gives you the clue. It'll pollute your entire deeds, even if you got deeds like Aisha, radiallahu anha. Meaning, think big. It's so destructive. Now, there's another clue in the Quran. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about backbiting? In Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 12, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَأَقُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتَى. Eating the flesh of his dead brother. That's the verse of the Quran. يَأَقُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتَى. Eating the flesh of his dead brother. That's like what backbiting is. Now think about this. Why has Allah the Almighty and Glorious likened backbiting to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Lahma akhi maita. Namely, as is well known, in order to save your life, you may even eat pork. Refer to Surah 2, verse 173. So, for instance, if you're dying and somebody gives you pork, it is farther upon you to eat pork. If you die, you've done a haram death. The haram, absolute haram, becomes now wajib upon you to eat. Think about that. However, even if one is dying, the flesh of the human being still remains haram. Thus, in that scenario, you must die of starvation. What does this highlight? This is highlighting the gravity of backbiting. For not only is it likened to eating the flesh of the human being, but eating the flesh of your dead brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve and protect us from all such filth and abomination. Think about that. Imagine you're dying. Pork, get that pork here now. I need to eat it. I'm going to die. If somebody goes to you, here's some skin, human flesh. You can't touch it. In fact, this actually happened. There was a plane crash. They made a film out of it. And basically, the plane crashed. They were in the middle of nowhere in the higher grounds. Food ran out. There were some people who had died from the crash. And they were now thinking, we need to eat food. Can we eat the flesh of the dead? And they were sitting. They were doing mashallah, these non-Muslims. And some of them says, no, I can't eat the flesh of dead. Because you'll die. Because I can't. Others said, we're going to have to. So they start literally peeling the dead, eating. Some died. But in that scenario, we've been given hidayat. Imagine, if there was a Muslim there, sorry, I have to die. So why do you think Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتَهَا. Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Not only is it meat, human meat, it's your own brother. Allah Ta'ala goes, that's how devastating backbiting is. Meaning it's absolutely filth. You cannot go near it. And yet, it's common. Right? Even people say, brother, you have to gossip. We can't talk. We're just looking at each other otherwise. And it's actually become so ingrained. And what's the disaster? You got no deeds to give anyway, brother. If you've got the ocean-like deeds of Aisha, you're in trouble. But I tell you something, I haven't got ocean-like deeds. And think about it, we're probably already in the red. You probably handled everything over already. Everyone said, nah, think, oh, no, you've only lost a little bit, little cream of cake you've lost. You've got the main cake. Guess what, brother? You've lost the bakery. Forget about cake. Bakery's gone. You're in debt. And you're still biting. Right, so note the lesson. Safiya was defended by who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look how beautiful. The Prophet's words are revelation. What did he say? Should the words you have just now uttered be mixed with the ocean, it would still have polluted it, to Aisha. You only said one sentence. Think about that. Sometimes backbiting is not a sentence, brother. It's a session. Imagine somebody goes to you, brother, you need this backbite. You did a full bayan. That's one statement she made. Imagine. You backbite. Somebody goes, stupid, I've accounting. I'm in trouble as well. But our counting, and you did about 300 backbites. Right? And there's the problem. And that's why if you read Surah Hujarat, which is a fascinating surah to finish, Surah Hujarat, Allah Ta'ala tells you the do's and don'ts. But right at the end of that surah, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas. At the beginning, he says, O you who believe, O you who believe, O you who believe. But right at the end, he goes, O mankind. Why does he change, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from O you who believe to O mankind? Because you will never affect mankind unless you've got those do's and don'ts. Allah Ta'ala is telling you in Surah Hujarat, you've got to get these do's and don'ts into your life or out of your life. Then mankind, you'll make a change on mankind. Why aren't they listening? Read Surah Hujarat, you backbite, you spy. You have false thoughts about others. Yes. How are you going to change mankind? Allah is telling you that. So note Hujarat. Surah Hujarat is a very interesting surah. And who is it named after? The sacred chambers of our mothers. Hujarat. Allah Ta'ala loves the mothers that much, He named a surah after them, Hujarat, the sacred chambers of the wives of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what I mentioned today was basically the blessed entrance of our beloved mother into the holy city of Al-Madinah. And again, what a beautiful and grand entrance it was. Then I mentioned the nature of the women, that when they get jealous, don't hold it against. And then I mentioned, of course, how our beloved messenger would come to the defense, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of Sayyidina Safiya, radiallahu anha, and the lessons that we can extract from these priceless reports. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحان الله وما بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل في الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم